You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Welcome on in, guys.
Ooh, that's nasty.
Actually, that's not nasty. That's another song in her catalog. That's Black Cat.
Janet Jackson. I'm saying that as, beat is nasty.
As an adjective.
An adjective.
Why do they have this? That sounds like a weird word, right? Adjective.
Listen to that beat. It's nasty.
It's nasty, bro.
Yes.
Miss Jackson. You're nasty.
Miss Jackson.
Welcome in, guys, to, did I tell anybody yet?
Yeah.
Episode 2?
They have no idea what's going on, and neither do you.
I said episode 2.
I'm glad we're all on the same page.
That's not right.
Us and our listeners are all on the same page. None of us have any idea.
Yeah, everybody that's involved in this right now is going, what the hell is this?
It's nasty.
Two peas on a podcast. That's first. I said episode 2, and that's not right.
Is it episode 2? We just got started. Wow.
It feels that way. Episode 62. Of Two Peas.
Yes.
Gerald is here.
Andy.
Two buddies that we get together every week. We talk about the current events and stuff going on and pop culture and entertainment and the news as well. And
sometimes we get nasty.
We get serious. We get nasty. We have fun. We're bald. Mention that to everyone as well.
You can't see us. Miss Janet.
As I know.
Can you hear baldness? When you hear me, everybody say, you know, he's probably bald.
All the senses come alive with my baldness, brother. You can hear it. You can feel it. See it.
I did rub your head this morning. When I got here, I rubbed Gerald's head.
You did, and we rubbed each other's heads on the front porch. My neighbors enjoyed that. They were like, what the hell's going on over there? That guy's home during the day. Welcome on over, Andy. Let's get into episode 62 here, brother.
Okay, I'm ready.
Two Peas on a Podcast. First time listeners, thanks for joining us. I'm sure you've tuned out at this point. But if you're still here, thank you.
Oh, that's nice.
How was your week, brother? What's going on? I hadn't seen you in about a week.
It was good. My daughter was sick.
Yeah. Do you want to tell everybody about the poop situation, or you don't want to talk about that?
I feel like we have to now.
You got
to
tell everybody. The poop thing was weird, man. Tell me about the poop thing.
Well, my wife found poop in the trash can.
She found a poop in your trash can.
Yes, and I had to fess up.
Wait, was this?
It wasn't me.
What?
It was you. In the bathroom trash can. Trash can right beside the toilet, and we have young children.
You do.
We have young children.
I guess we should tell people that.
Exactly. I come home last night. Like, how was your evening, dear? And she goes, it was okay, but I found poop in the trash can.
Yeah, it was okay with the
exception
of
the... No one fessed up. There was a friend over who was apparently in the bathroom for a while.
Boy or girl?
It was a girl.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say...
And there was like an accident and a panic. But I mean, it's a panic situation. The toilet's right there. If you're panicking at the toilet.
Well, I often panic when I miss the toilet. I've been there, but I usually scoop it up and throw it in either the litter box or in the toilet. I never put it in the trash can.
Blame the cat, right?
I never put it in the trash can.
The best way to get rid of the evidence is to flush it down.
All right, well, this is like a Dateline investigation, brother. Is it the friend? Or do you think one of your daughters is kind of
passing the buck there? One, I'm not a big fan of the friend.
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan.
Well, that's rude. They're child. Children.
There's a lot of arguments that go along with this friend. They don't get along very well.
Okay, all right.
But I've been with my daughters for years and years and years, and this doesn't seem like something they would do.
They've never pooped in a trash can.
I mean, they've made big messes in the bathroom. Big messes.
Have they ever pooped in the sink?
No, never.
Peed in the sink?
No.
Never done that? That's coming in college, brother. Get ready for that. I had a lot of situations where I was pooping in sink. And sinks.
In college.
I'm kidding. It only happened once. Okay. my week.
My goodness, you don't know about my week?
I don't. You probably don't.
No, I do.
A lot of pooping in my week as well.
I want to know how you're doing.
Well, my daughter was there. Went to see Black Panther.
Did you?
Which is why we opened with Black Cat, because we're going to talk a little bit about Black Panther in a second.
Black Panther is a black cat.
That's accurate.
Did you like the movie?
I did. It was great, man.
I've heard really good things about it.
Really good.
People are talking.
Brother. Really good flick. We're going to get into that in a moment when we open with the success of Black Panther thus far. It's been open for a week now.
Wonderful.
And just blowing up at the box office.
Blowing up. So did your daughter like it as well?
Critically and otherwise. Oh, yeah, she is. It was her idea to go see it.
Okay. Is she a Marvel fan? Does she like all those movies?
She's a movie fan. Ooh. She loves to see, you know, the new kind of like what the hype's about or whatever.
Okay.
And obviously there's a lot of hype surrounding it.
There is a lot of hype.
But she did the same thing with a lot of the Oscar movies. She went to see them because there's a lot of hype, you know, Call Me By Your Name, Shape of Water. Like,
did she see Shape of Water?
Yeah, she went to see all those because there's a lot of hype around it.
Yes.
And I guess there's a theater. I guess she lives
kind of... Mermaid Erotica. Erotica.
Exactly. You got to go see that. But she lives around, she lives kind of in a small town near Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I guess there's not a lot going on there, yeah. But they do have a movie theater. So she's like, you know, I'll go check out flicks. And
it warms my heart to know that young people are still going to see movies.
I know, that's great.
You know, with Netflix that's and great. Hulu, I mean, the movie experience is beautiful. That's I love true. Going to see movies.
Well,
I never do, but I love going to see
movies. It was good, man. It was a good flick. So let's get into our topics because that'll lead us right into our Black Panther discussion here. Okay. Now, I know you have not seen the film, at least I assume you haven't.
I have not.
Okay. Are you going to go to the theater before Solo, or that'll be the next time you
probably
go?
Probably not. Honestly,
why don't you take the old lady to go see movies?
I don't.
Why don't y'all ever do that?
We just don't.
I know, but why? I mean, there's got to be a reason. Out. Like, is she not into movie theater experience?
One, Uno. Uno.
You play Uno?
We do play Uno. But yeah, one.
That's fair.
We rarely get out on a date night. Okay. But when we do get out happen, on a date brother. Night, we like to do things where we can face each other and listen. Talk and conversate.
Well, that's
and,
bullshit. You don't need to do that. But listen, you can do that at home. But listen, here's
that's
the thing.
We can watch movies at home, so we like to do things like we like to go for walks. And
nah, I don't do that shit.
Do things
that's too
together.
Much shit. That's too much stuff. Get this going, brother. Get somebody over to watch your daughters. Bring the friend that poops in trash cans. They can have a little fun game night or whatever, and you guys go see a movie.
Okay.
All right, do yeah. that.
But I only get out to the movies when I actually make time, carve time out of my schedule. And usually that's only for Star Wars.
That's what I'm asking.
Because I'm committed to Star Wars. Like, Solo, I will see in the theater. Guaranteed.
Yeah, of course. Guaranteed. And when they do episode...
Han, I'm coming.
Nine, or what are they going to be on next? Nine, right? Nine will be next, right?
Seven, eight, nine, yeah.
Yeah, so nine. When's that, next year?
Next year. I think this... Do we get a movie this winter?
Well, Solo.
Winter?
No,
do we
just get a Solo, movie this I think. I don't think so.
No, not a movie this winter?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
But Solo. I'll go see Solo in the theater.
All right. So Black Panther opened this past weekend, and it on opening weekend, a three-day total of over $387 million.
Is that a lot?
That is a lot, brother. I don't know what the budget on the film was, but I feel like that tripled their budget. 98% currently on Rotten Tomatoes with over 300 reviews. So what's interesting there is based on the ratio of reviews,
Okay. It
makes it the greatest reviewed film of all time.
Okay.
Currently, based on the number of reviews and the percentage.
Wonderful. People like this movie. People are digging on the Black Panther.
Now, I just want to mention, well, a couple, you know, we try not to get too deep in our opening segment here.
We try.
However.
But it's hard.
There's a couple things I want to mention about Black Panther. And I know you haven't seen it. I'm going to try to eliminate any spoilers here.
No, you don't have to worry about it for me.
Well, not for you, but I mean, it's still fresh. So a lot of people. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
our listeners out there.
Our two people that are listening right now that haven't seen it.
Yeah, we don't want one to tune out because they don't want to hear a spoiler.
Oh, God, I can't listen.
I can't listen anymore.
Oh, shit, all of a sudden. Nobody's
we don't want to give him an excuses, basically.
So, what I wanted to mention is that I feel like Eric Killmonger, which is the villain in the movie.
The villain. I can't picture him.
Now, Michael B. Jordan plays him.
Okay.
He played Creed in the Apollo Creed Rocky spinoff. Did you see that?
Oh!
Where Sly
Stallone. Kind of like Nick Cannon.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so, yeah.
When I first saw him, I thought it was Nick Cannon. Like, what's Nick Cannon doing in the Black Panther movie?
Right.
Is he going to play drums?
Nick Cannon? The Black Panther? It's kind of weird. Is Mariah Carey?
Mariah Carey hooked it up.
Mariah Carey, the queen? What's going on here? But anyway, he was an amazing villain, brother.
He did a good job.
But what was really cool about him as Killmonger is, now, of course, in the comic, it's sensationalized a little bit, and obviously it's animated because it's a drawn comic.
Yeah.
But in the movie, this is just a real guy. He's got a military background, and he's just kind of... over the racial injustice in the world, basically.
Okay.
And that drives his
so almost good intentions.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I love a villain with good intentions.
That's what a lot of people
are
saying.
I love a villain with good intentions.
And I got to be honest with you, me and my daughter are watching it, and he's going through his diatribe and saying different things about basically what is racial injustice or what he views it. I'm listening to him going, this guy gets it.
Yeah.
And you kind of like find yourself agreeing with the villain, but you also know if he kind of takes over, then, you know, again, I don't want to give away any spoilers.
And that gets into the philosophical argument of, is it right to do the right thing by any means necessary?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
But I'll just tell you, if you want to read anything up on it online or when you do finally see it, I'm sure it'll be on Netflix but I'm just going to tell you, and I actually said this on Facebook the other day, this is the best on-screen comic book villain since the Joker in 2008.
And this is Gerald.
That's me. I'm just telling
you. He's a huge fan of the Joker.
I'm just telling you. He was very...
Since Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yes.
Okay.
He was very relatable. He didn't seem... what's the word? He didn't seem like too make-believe.
Okay.
You know, he seemed
so
like...
So you believed his intentions.
It seemed like there could actually be people like this today.
There's a villain that can kind of scare you and make you uncomfortable, but also you almost relate to.
Right.
I mean, that's beautiful. Right. That's a wonderful job.
So I don't know if you read anything about it, but what's your impression on... Because this has had a huge impact on what I'll call African-American culture, because it's a predominantly black cast. There's only two white actors that even have like a speaking role in this movie.
Yeah, because it takes place in Africa, right?
Wakanda is the African province or whatever that's featured in the film. But it's a predominantly black cast, and I mean like 95%. There's a black director. Obviously kind of celebrating that culture.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, and especially in terms of a blockbuster capacity, okay, this never happened, right? I mean, this is the kind of moment when people will look back and they'll say, wow, Black Panther was the first movie that really featured African Americans, mm-hmm, was an African American story, had a black director behind it.
Yeah.
And it was a quote blockbuster.
What it does, what I like that it does, it expands the ethnic universe. Yeah. I'm sorry, the ethnicity of the Marvel universe.
Yes, sir.
Meaning Marvel is no longer about a bunch of white men and, you know, fighting white villains or supernatural
people. Yeah, like old rich guys like Tony Stark.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, which is, you know, it's wonderful that Marvel and that, I mean, because these comic books are out there, that they take it and they extend the ethnicity of the genre.
Right.
And make sure that you know that this area is part of this universe. And it does so much as far as adding different elements, because there are ethnic elements involved in our world. You know, there's different cultures that have different modes of speaking, different modes of expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. So every time you add another element, you enrich our lives, you enrich our environment. Even if it's just the Marvel Cinematic World,
right,
you're touching on themes that go beyond just, quote, white America. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a beautiful thing.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's great. And like I said, on top of everything else, it was a great movie. But I just feel like it's really cool because the black community will be able to look at that as just a moment, you know, like you see moments in your history.
Yeah.
And I feel like from a movie standpoint, this will be the moment where it was like, it's okay to have all black people in the movie and it will still make money.
It's crazy even to say that, right?
I mean, right. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, that can happen and it's great. And I think it's going to continue to happen.
And not to get too deep here, but also from an identification standpoint, we typically psychologically identify with the heroes who look like us.
That's true.
I mean, that's why we get, if you look at, not to get too deep, but the Jesus character, Jesus will appear differently in different cultures. Mm-hmm. And because Jesus made his way through the Western white culture, we have ourselves a white Jesus.
Right.
But it's hard to relate to a white Jesus.
Exactly.
If you're an African American. Exactly. It's hard to relate to a male Jesus if you're a woman, but that's a different topic. But having a hero that looks and talks and comes from where you come from,
that's great.
That adds a different level of, oh, I can be this guy.
And that's been some great stuff, you know, I've read as well with young black kids.
I can identify. He looks like me.
And the video that went viral of all the young black kids at the school dancing when they found out they were going to the screening. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
I didn't send you that.
You didn't send me that. You know I don't watch news unless you send it to me. That's true. You got to send me this stuff.
But that was really cool. Yeah. You know, the whole class was just like
identification.
Dancing and it went viral. But anyway,
it's a beautiful thing.
If you guys love comic book movies or just, I mean, it's just a great story. Go see Black Panther. Check it out. It's in theaters. It's been out for about a week. Like I said, it's blowing up at the box office and also getting rave reviews. My favorite part of it was Michael B. Jordan's Eric Killmonger. Let's see. Another movie story here. Jessica Chastain is in talks to play the adult Beverly in It Chapter 2. Another film I know you have not seen.
See, I haven't seen it. Now, was she in the original?
Let me set this up for you.
Tell me what happened, because I'm not familiar with
it. So let me set this up for you.
I don't know anything about it.
Well done. So let me set this up for you. So it's based on a Stephen King.
Okay.
Basically a two-part novel. It's like bigger than the Bible. And more fictional as well. but it's, part one is when they're kids.
Okay.
So they're like 12, 13 years
old. And
that's
the movie that we just saw.
And that's the movie that just came out.
Okay.
And that's when they're kind of finding out who Pennywise is and what his deal is.
Okay, because he comes after kids, right?
Right.
Okay.
In this particular town. And the story goes, every 23 years he comes back.
Every 23 years?
Yeah. So I think it's 23.
So we're not going to have another movie for 23 years?
Well, no, it's going to be in a couple years, but the story's going to have advanced 23 years.
Ah, interesting.
And she would play the grown-up version of Beverly. It's like, you know, a little redheaded 13-year-old girl that's in the movie.
Okay.
Other than the one we just saw. I don't know the actress's name, but
okay.
I think it's a perfect choice. I love Jessica Chastain. Other actresses that have been mentioned for it are Amy Adams and Emma Stone.
Okay.
So you can kind of see similarities there a little bit.
I know Amy Adams. I know Emma Stone.
Jessica Chastain.
What do I know her from?
So Zero Dark Thirty, and she's redhead. She was currently in Molly's Game, which is a new film.
Okay.
She was in The Martian.
Show me a picture.
With Matt Damon. Did you see The Martian?
I wanted to. I thought about it.
That counts. I told you about Zero Dark Thirty.
Okay.
The Help. Did you ever see The
Help? Yes, I saw The Help.
She was in The Help.
Well, who was she in
The Help? She was one of the
Emma
white.
Emma Stone was in The Help.
Emma Stone was in The Help, yeah.
Interesting.
Let me see if I can find it. Let me give you a picture here.
Wow.
That's Jessica Chastain.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. She's pretty, right? Very talented. I feel like she's a good pick for it. You know her? Yes. You know her?
I've seen her before. Okay. I recognize.
Wow, that was fun. We had to get around that to make sure you knew who that was. So anyway, I think it's a good pick. The funny thing is
that those last couple minutes are probably not the most boring part of this podcast.
Yeah, I'll probably leave that in, actually. But Jessica Chastain is in talks to portray Beverly in It Chapter 2, which is going to be released next year.
Already? So they're already in production, probably. Yeah.
Well, they're not in production. They're casting.
Okay.
And what's interesting is a lot of fan theories were that Jessica, they were lobbying to get her to do the role. And now it may come to fruition, which is really cool. Which is really cool. Did you see, switch gears here a little bit, a couple music ones here. Did you see, you know, the NBA All-Star game?
The NBA All-Star game. It gets a little crazy every year. I mean, it's not much about basketball anymore. No, nah, it's just ridiculous.
Kind of,
I don't even watch
grandstanding
anymore.
A little bit. Yeah. But I don't know. I watch the highlights.
The year I stopped watching it was the year that Shaquille O'Neal came out and danced with the dance troupe at the very beginning.
You're like, this
with,
is
like,
it.
Jabberwocky from like a TV show. When he started dancing, I was like, okay. And right, Andy's done with the NBA All-Star
game. Yeah, the All-Star weekend's ran its course here. Okay. Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas, of course, gave the national anthem. And I just want to ask, I'm not going to play anything. I just want to ask if people,
I listened to it.
You did. And people that are listening to me talking about it, and that if you've heard that, you know what I'm talking about. But it blew up the internet, brother.
Of course.
It was a unique, to put it nicely,
it was unique
performance.
Okay.
And if you have not seen it, just Google Fergie national anthem NBA 2018.
Got it.
And wow. What was your reaction? You said you watched it.
Here's the thing. I watched it after I felt and heard all around me all the backlash and all the making fun of it. So I was prepared for like a nosedive. But when I watched it, I was like, what are y'all talking about? It's not that bad. I mean, she's
really?
I mean, she made it because everyone always sings the same. She tried to do like a jazzy version, like a lounge singer. It wasn't that bad.
That's a good.
I didn't love it.
That's a good similarity.
But it wasn't that bad.
Like that's a good similarity. Singer. To me, it kind of sounded like she was kind of singing it in a strip club.
Exactly.
It was kind of weird. It's the national anthem, right? I mean, did you not? I mean, maybe not the strip club part, but you said jazzy.
Is that why people are up in arms? Because
you're not
supposed to jazz up the national anthem?
I'm not saying that. I don't know that people are technically up in arms. And then at the end, she's like, let's play some basketball. Everybody's like,
Fergie, man.
Fergie, we know why we're here. Like, calm down.
Exactly.
But I'll just say this.
Was it glamorous?
Good one. Mm-hmm. I'll just say this. I think it was weird. I think it was strange.
It's a little odd, yeah.
And
we're so used to the regular old.
And no offense to Fergie, but I mean, she doesn't have the greatest voice in the world either.
She's more of a,
I mean, it wasn't,
she works,
you know.
I think she works within the Black Eyed Peas very well.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
I love the Black Eyed Peas.
It wasn't, you know, it wasn't.
Oh, Will I Am? Get out of town.
It wasn't Kelly Clarkson up there belting it. I mean, she doesn't have a, quote, powerful voice.
I think when you think about the national anthem, you think about people belting it. Like,
yeah.
And the Rockets regular.
Yeah. Or like Aretha Franklin's from last year. She just finished last night. Just went on for 2 years.
Aretha Franklin. Now that, you took me back with the piano player and that scene.
I mean, Andy, it was good. It was just long. We talked about this last year. It was so fucking long, brother. I mean.
Yes, it just ended.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I felt like I was going to die during it. I'm like, I got to get through the rest of my life here, Aretha. Can you just wrap this up?
After she's done singing, they have to do the memorial at the top. And then list of all the people who died during
the performance. Here's a list of folks that didn't make it to the end of the performance.
Well, that's terrible. Gerald Morris.
Respect. Just be me. All right. So look, guys, just look up Fergie's performance if you haven't seen
it. It's not that bad.
You know what?
The internet's mean.
I'm a fan of hers and I like her, but I just feel like that was a little out of her element there. And like you said, I feel like because she wasn't a powerful singer that was able to belt it, she kind of improvised with the jazzy kind of hip hop.
She made a choice though. She made a choice. When you make those kind of choices, sometimes they don't work out the way you think they're going to.
Did you see the tweet?
She made a choice.
Did you see the tweet? I don't even know who it was, honestly. It was somebody famous, though. But somebody tweeted that, you think the kneeling in the NFL is disrespectful to the national anthem. What the hell is this?
Poor Fergie.
Wow. Fergie. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Oh, the Smashing Pumpkins are organizing a reunion tour.
Siamese Dream changed my life.
I was going to ask where you put them. That's the announcement. That's the announcement. Let me tell everyone.
Oh, that's it. That's all you're going to do?
That's it.
And moving on.
The Pumpkins are going on a reunion tour. They're not going. It's kind of made news because their former bassist for many, many years, Darcy Retzky, was not invited. And there's a little falling out.
The girl?
Out. Yeah, the girl, yeah.
Why not? She's like...
Well, we don't know, but she had a falling out and a little bit of a feud with Billy Corgan, who, of course, is the founder of the group, the lead singer.
Yeah.
So he didn't invite her. So they have like a replacement basis, basically. She was available. Oh, he just didn't invite her.
Interesting.
So she's not going to be on tour, but they announced it's going to be called the Shiny and Oh So Bright Tour.
Okay.
Announced on social media last week. Where do you put the Pumpkins, brother, in that 90s rock
now,
kind of...
Now, here's the thing.
Discussion.
The Smashing Pumpkins, when they came out, they were one of the most unique bands of the, quote, alternative phase.
Yeah.
I feel like they were one of the first bands that I considered actually alternative. Where Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Nirvana, this was grunge.
Oh, okay.
You had bands like...
So it was a new sound.
Yes. All of a sudden, when the Pumpkins came out... Siamese Dream, when I bought that album, I was like, this is completely different. It had a very, very odd sound to it. And
then I was,
bands like, remember Dinosaur Jr.?
I do, yeah.
Bands like that came out afterwards. But I just thought Smashing Pumpkins, dude, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, that double disc, that's a great album.
Dinosaur Sr. is a good band as well.
You like that? The world is a vampire.
Yeah, that's a good album.
His voice.
And Siamese Dream is great.
His voice is completely unique.
I would say, were you ever into Sonic Youth in the
90s? Sonic Youth, yeah.
They had a very, it's almost like they had the Sonic Youth sound, but they were able to break. They were able
exactly.
to break
Sonic, Sonic Youth is pre-Pumpkin.
Yes.
That was
absolutely.
Almost
like they're 80s. They're 80s, yeah. One of the best albums they released in 88.
Smashing Pumpkins is a completely unique band. Very, very talented. Billy Corgan. Corgan's name? Billy
Corgan,
Billy Corgan. His voice is just...
It is.
I mean, wonderful.
Would you check this out? Were you a big enough fan to see the Pumpkins
live?
I don't think I'd
go live.
You do Pearl Jam, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude. No, we do Pearl Jam.
All right, calm down. You're like, well, question my Pearl Jam fetish. Yeah.
No, like, when my wife and I each have a fetish.
Yeah.
When Pearl Jam or Justin Timberlake comes through, we go. Period.
Wow.
Period.
That's not really a
period.
Fetish, brother. That's
period.
Just a like of a
period.
Band.
So, okay, my daughter is receiving the Nobel Peace Prize, and Justin Timberlake has a concert that night. Sorry, Livy.
It's a battle. Yeah. It's Sophie's
not.
Choice.
The problem is it's not a battle.
The problem for her.
It's like...
Look,
your grandma will
have. Honey, we have the internet now. Just send me video, FaceTime me, but I'll be at the
JT. I know I've seen Justin like 20 times already, but I want to see him again.
But I see you every day.
It's different every time.
All right, last one on our entertainment bookend.
You didn't
brother.
Tell me. Do you like the Pumpkins?
I do. I don't think I would see them live again today. I did see them in the 90s, but it was part of Lollapalooza. Oh,
okay.
But they were good.
They were good live?
They were never like... I would probably say maybe top 10, but they were never like my favorite.
No.
90s man.
They're not up there for me. I would definitely say top 10. As far as 90s bands.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe
Nirvana.
Even top 7 or 8. I mean, we're getting.
I mean,
we're
Nirvana, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden. I mean, you know, Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be up there forever. Yeah,
but Siamese Dream, Melancholy Infinite Sadness.
STP.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, brother.
Stone Temple Pilots.
All right, last thing on the entertainment bookend, brother, and then we'll get into our one deep topic, is this is interesting. So you're not a big horror movie fan, are you?
I thought you were going to say something different.
You're not a big whore?
You're not a big whore, are you?
Well, I already know the answer to that.
I was in college.
I already know the answer to that.
No, I don't watch a lot of horror.
And I knew that, but did you ever, how do you see the impact of franchises like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and that kind of thing?
I mean, you can't. Argue that.
Or you get into that.
Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street, and Friday the 13th. Absolutely. Those are probably the three biggest horror franchises of all time.
So listen.
Honestly, I've seen a Halloween movie. I haven't seen any of the other ones.
Okay.
I haven't seen a Freddy movie. I haven't seen a Jason movie.
Man, get on that.
I haven't seen a Freddy versus Jason movie.
We need to figure that out. We need to get you, change you. We need to basically change you into a different person.
Yeah.
Just for the purposes of this.
Okay, if I have a choice.
And then you go back.
If I have a choice to watch Game of Thrones or some Friday the 13th, which one am I going to watch?
Game of Thrones.
Okay, good.
Game of Thrones. More modern. Okay, so the reason I bring it up is that Friday, you can now have a Friday the 13th sleepover for one night.
What?
At what was portrayed as Crystal Lake in the Friday the 13th franchise. It is actually a camp in New Jersey.
Is that where Jason drowned?
Yeah,
and became Jason?
Killed everybody with machetes, and he drowned there in the lake. Yeah. It's called the Not Be Bosco Camp in New Jersey. I think I said that right. I spelled it out, so I would say it right.
Do all the movies take place at this camp?
Not all of them, but that's where the franchise started, and then they often like revisit it throughout the franchise. But the first couple were in this Crystal Lake camp. But so you can have a sleepover there, and it's actually going to be on Friday the 13th.
Ooh, would
you do
that?
April 13th for one night only.
Would you do that?
If I was a huge fan of the franchise, there's going to be a lottery to determine the winner.
Are they just going to have it at the camp, or you think they're going to do things to scare you? I think they're
going
to
have one of the actresses that was in the original film be there to give a tour. Ooh. So she'll be there.
You know they're going to do things to scare you, though.
Yeah, probably.
They're going to make a haunted night.
This is a big bowl of nope for me, brother. I feel like I just won't be able to sleep. I'd be scared shitless. But I guess that's the point, though.
Yes.
Like, I was a big fan of the Blair Witch Project, for example. Not a lot of people were, but I love that movie. Oh, so this would be similar to, like...
That scary because it was so real.
Yeah, this would be similar to, like, you know, they're going to go to Baskerville, Maryland, where the film takes place, and you got to spend the night out in the woods. And then you know they're going to do all this weird shit
the
out there.
Kids' hands, we're going to die out
here.
Yeah,
I'm not... Fuck that. I'm not trying to do that, brother. I am not trying to do that. I'll be in my house in the comfort of my own home.
Life is scary enough, man.
So anyway, Friday 13th, sleepover. We do have some horror fans that listen to the show, though. So if they don't know about this, check it out. You can enter the lottery. They're going to draw the winner.
I wonder how many. I wonder how many they're going to let
They're actually going to draw the winners on April 1st, which is April Fool's Day.
And then
the sleepover will be on the New Jersey camp on Friday, April 13th.
Fascinating.
All right, we got a lot to talk about, brother. Another tragedy that we got to discuss in our one deep topic. Before we do that, let's take a quick break, Andy. And then we'll come back on the flip side. I'm going to run a promo for our sisters over in the Blazing Caribou Network.
We have sisters?
We do. It's a brand new podcast called Feast on History.
Oh, that sounds great.
And literally, they've only
History
done...
History is delicious.
Literally, they've only had one episode thus far discussing peanut butter. But what they do is they
Or like where peanut butter came from and why we love it so much.
Yes, they basically discuss the history of how we have come to know these everyday foods. And where peanut they originated butter. From and how they ended up in your fridge. And
talk about peanut allergies, you know, man. How would you like to be allergic to the best thing ever?
It's crazy, right?
Peanut butter's delicious. I could eat peanut butter by the spoon.
All right, Andy. Hold my nuts, though. Be right back. Stay right there, buddy.
It's going to take a minute.
Feast on History is the podcast where we take you and your taste buds through a historical ride through the ages. Grab a fork while we dine in on some pretty interesting facts and historical figures and find out exactly how those tasty vittles got to your plate.
Feast on History takes you back to the very beginning of a food story. We explore every nook and cranny and throw you forward into the future of food. So tune in every month as Carrie and Andrea dive into a smorgasbord of fun. You can listen at blazingcariboustudios.com or listen in on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play.
So if you're hungry, and we know you are, look back, dig in, and feast on history.
Welcome back in, guys. Episode 62 of Two Peas. Gerald and Andy, we're going to get into some deep stuff here, as we usually do in this segment. However, this particular one is going to be tough for me personally. I'm sure it is probably for you too as well, Andy. But we're going to be, let me tell everyone real quick, and then you can spin off. We're going to be talking about the mass shooting in Parkland, Florida at Parkland High School, which actually occurred when we were recording last week, which was weird. Did you even realize that?
No.
We were recording at like 10 in the morning. Day. Yeah,
on That's Valentine's what was going Day. On?
And that was like when it happened.
Yeah.
Because like after you left my house, I checked my phone. And I'm like, holy shit. Anyway, it's been a little over a week since that occurred, but we're going to go ahead and discuss that today.
One of the saddest things for me is that we've done this before.
Yeah, well, I mean, many times, brother.
We've talked about this before.
Of course.
I think it's been our deep topic before. Mm-hmm. I think Vegas was.
Vegas was, And, you know, we switched over to the format, actually, with that show that you're talking about. We switched our format to where we, you know, narrowed down to one topic.
Yeah.
And it was Las Vegas, which, for me, was the number one, I mean, you could say news story, but number one tragedy of 2017 was the amount of lives that were lost and the, and I'm trying to put this the best way I can, most political way I can, but the refusal of our country to do anything about it.
Yeah.
And here we are, what, 4 months later, and we have another one that's just as tragic. Not as many lives were lost, but these are kids, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there were some teachers involved, but I mean, for the most part...
When one life is lost, it's tragic.
Yeah.
One life is
especially
tragic.
Especially when it's senseless.
I mean, when it's your child, that's life-changing.
Yeah.
So one child being taken away is tragic.
So I mean, let's this is a very sensitive subject for me. I was sending you texts all week and you know, the heartbreak emojis and shit like that. I mean, I'm crying, you know, and I told you this when we had the Vegas situation. This to me is just, I don't want to use the word stupid. It's just senseless, brother. Let's try to stick to the guts of the story here, because we've only got like 20, 25 minutes here. Okay. So let's say what we want to say. Let's make sure we get it out. Real quick, Nicholas Cruz, 17 years old. He's a shooter. He's in custody right now. They're debating what his sentencing is going to be. Some people calling for the death penalty. Some people calling for life in prison. He had a history of gun loving, such as Instagram pictures. He had a couple YouTube comments that were super questionable. His classmates described him as they used to joke that he would shoot up the school, mm-hmm. and that they were not at all surprised that he was somebody that did that. Mm-hmm. 17 people died in the shooting. Three of them were faculty, staff, and the rest were kids that attended the school. Most of them ranged in ages from 14 to 16. I have a 16-year-old daughter. You have young girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't imagine getting the phone call that my 16-year-old was shot at while she was at school. What I wanted to mention, and the reason I mention this is because whether you want to or not, I'm going to turn it into a gun control debate.
No, and I have something I'd like you to hear as well. I think that it will put in perspective for you.
And please do. But real quick, I just want to mention this is the 18th incident this year.
This year. And it's February.
This year. In a month and a half. 18. 6 weeks. It's the 18th incident of guns being used on school grounds.
Okay.
And it's February, what is this, 20th?
We don't hear about most of these.
Yeah. Well, if they're mass, we do.
Okay.
But some of them, people are injured or no one dies or whatever. But got it. They get reported in the towns that they occur in. Mm-hmm. But this is a mass shooting, so obviously it took over the
media. And the last one was the church in Texas.
Oh, the church in Texas, that's right.
That was the last mass,
That was
right?
the last mass one, yeah.
Okay.
So go ahead, because I don't want to take up all the time mm-hmm. with my bitterness, but go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
Well, this is what I want you to just give me just a few minutes here, what I want to lay out for you, because I've been thinking about this and thinking about it a bit differently and trying to be objective,
mm-hmm.
trying to stick to the reality of it without blame and seeing what we can do to diagnose this and say, okay, how do we move forward here? Because step one, or the first thing we have to acknowledge, that this has become an epidemic, it's become normal, meaning that mass shootings, not only in schools, but mass shootings in general in our country happen regularly,
yep.
Which means that if something doesn't change, it's going to continue to happen. That's the reality. If something doesn't change under these circumstances, these mass shootings will continue to happen.
Yep.
So because of that, we have to take the mass shooting, we have to say, what are the factors involved and how can we make changes to move forward? And I have isolated three factors that we can look at in mass shootings to help us move forward.
And, when you say we, do you mean citizens? Or
I mean,
the
we
government?
As a country.
Okay.
I mean, I would like to say that politicians are citizens
who of course,
just happen
yeah.
to make decisions for us
of
that,
course,
we,
yeah.
that we inform them. So these are the three things we have to look at. The first factor involved, the widest factor, the hardest to nail down, is the source or reason or cause. Why does this happen? There are biological and societal factors that lead to this. Now here's the thing. Very, very hard to isolate. Very, very hard to nail down. Mm-hmm. Basically, are there certain biological tendencies in these individuals that make them more prone to violence? Is there something in our society that makes us prone to violence, that makes us prone to want to shoot people? That's very, very hard to diagnose.
Of course.
Very, very hard to look into, but that's one of the things we can look at and say, okay, what is contributing? What's the common denominator in all these shootings that we can isolate? The second thing, a little bit easier to pin down, but still very difficult, emotional and mental state.
Yep.
I would call this the symptoms. When you look at these individuals, what are their emotional and mental states? What's going on here? What are the red flags? Now, this is also very difficult. If you go back to Vegas, there are no red flags.
Right.
We've talked to his coworkers. There's nothing saying that this guy is going to do this. Now, with Florida, There were warning signs. The FBI was actually informed. I'm not blaming anyone, but knowing the signs, knowing the emotional mental state will, one, lead us back to the sources and help us understand why this is happening. Two, help us look to the for the red flag so that teachers, students, law enforcement, politicians can look around, and anytime these things pop up, this individual is a mental state that he or she needs to be helped, he or she needs to be reached out to, and we need to look for those warning signs. Those are the symptoms.
Right.
But here's the thing. Also very, very difficult. We're talking about mental health. Now, here's the third aspect of all mass shootings, the easiest to nail down and the easiest to make change when it comes to, and that is the mechanism involved. How are these individuals, what are they using to do this? What is the mechanism? And that is semi-automatic weapons.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, every mass shooting involves a semi-automatic weapon.
Yep.
So if that's the mechanism involved, if that's what's being used, we have to ask ourselves, should we get rid of those? Should civilians have access to semi-automatic weapons? Because this individual could have shot up the school with a shotgun or a pistol. He could have rammed a car in there. But cars, pistols, shotguns are used used for other things like pistols, protection and for sport. Shotguns, hunting and for sport. Semi-automatic weapons are only used for sport. Only have them because they're fun and you want to have them. Yep. How do they contribute to our society? And you can't tell me, as a parent, if this happened, would you rather an individual come into your school, your daughter's school, with a shotgun or a weapon that is designed to kill as many people possible?
They're designed to kill people.
That's the mechanism. So when you look at these things real quick, let me finish, then I'm going to let you respond. When you look at those three things, what's the source, what's the symptom, the mental and emotional state, and what's the mechanism? The easiest thing to begin with is the mechanism involved. Mm-hmm. We have to look at all the stuff. We have to look at mental health. We have to look at the source. But when you say all these shootings are taking place with this instrument, you have to ask yourself, why are we allowing individuals to have this instrument and why are we not taking them away from civilians? It's not going to keep people from murdering. It's not going to keep people from going into schools and shooting. I understand that. That's the argument. Mm-hmm. Someone actually said yesterday, oh, he could have driven a car into the school. Yes, but one, cars are used for other things. We can't take away cars.
Right.
Two, it makes it a lot easier when you have a mechanism designed to kill as many people as possible. So that's the argument I wanted to break down for you. Thank you for giving me that time.
Yeah, and that makes complete sense to me, and you echoed a lot of what I've been thinking. And this is just bringing it to light again. Okay. But here's to piggyback on what you're saying. Okay. So Emma Gonzalez was one of the students that survived the shooting. She was there when it happened. Mm-hmm. She had friends of hers die in front of her. And she's been, since then, has been kind of inadvertently become an advocate for gun control.
Okay.
She's 17 years old. She was at an anti-gun rally in Fort Lauderdale, which is close to her school. And here's a couple quotes that kind of echo what you're saying. She says, quote, "We need to pay attention to the fact that this isn't just a mental health issue. He would not have harmed that many students with a knife." She also added, "If the president wants to come up to me and tell me to my face that it was a terrible tragedy and how it should have never happened and maintain telling us how nothing is going to be done about it, I am going to happily ask him how much money he received from the NRA." By the way, he received $30 million during the election from the
$30 million
from the National Rifle Association.
Yeah.
So here's what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So the arguments, predominant arguments, mm-hmm. I mean, there's more, but the number one arguments mm-hmm. that exist from gun advocates, if you will, mental health.
Yes. And that is a problem. I listed that.
Including
that
Trump.
That is an issue. Mm-hmm. It is an issue. It's a including symptom.
Trump. It's like, you know.
And it's one of the things.
He even said, like, this is a mental health issue, not a gun issue.
And we're not even talking about the fact that he's pulled money away from things like Medicaid.
Yeah.
That is it Medicare or Medicaid? He actually pulled something away from Medicaid and like organizations that actually help mental health. We're not even talking about that.
Nope.
But yes, mental health is an issue. And it is an issue.
Another argument will be that they should add more guns. And by that, I mean giving teachers and faculty guns.
Bad idea.
Horrible idea.
Bad idea.
Here's another one. Real way to stop, quote, criminals from committing crimes. Yeah. They are criminals. They're going to break the law regardless of what the laws are.
Now, that's one of the
an actual, like,
here's the
argument.
Thing. Here's the thing, though. That's one of the most logical arguments when they say that, okay, if I'm angry, if we take those first two things I said, if we take the source, my mental state, if I'm angry and I want to kill someone, I will. Yes. And we do need to address those problems.
But
and
here's,
we need to get into
can
that.
I
but
say
here's
one
the thing that... Why are we giving those individuals the means to kill so many people?
And another thing, not only you're talking about the semi-automatic, which is true, but another thing is, why can't we just have this simple thought that if we have less guns, we'll have less shootings?
Period.
Is that not common sense?
Period. Do you want to mention Australia?
I didn't write anything down about it, but
you want to mention the fact that they had a mass shooting? Mm-hmm. They took away semi-automatic weapons. They took away weapons of mass killing,
yep.
And they haven't had one since.
That's right.
And they've had shootings. They've had crime, of course.
And not only that, they
but
had
no
a kid.
More mass shootings.
There was a kid at the White House yesterday. I don't know if you saw because I sent it to you this morning. But a bunch of kids were and victims and parents from Sandy Hook and from Parkland and the church. And there's a lot of
from
people.
From the countless.
Yeah, there's a lot of people there. And to Trump's credit, he had a Q&A with these people. He tried to brainstorm with these people. We don't give him a lot of credit.
No, I'm not here
but
vilifying Trump.
To his credit.
I'm not here to vilify Trump.
But to his credit, he had this little get-together at the White House to try to kind of iron some stuff out and figure some stuff out. Because, you know, no matter if we love or hate Trump, he can't snap his fingers and make something happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all the way our government works.
Yeah.
And the way the NRA, unfortunately, is involved in a lot of those pockets. But, you know, one of the kids there said that in 1999, I think it was, that Australia, which is not the one you're talking about.
Okay.
But Australia had a shooting on a school campus. Mm-hmm. And after the gun legislation that was enforced shortly thereafter, there's been zero people harmed on school campuses since 1999. Mm-hmm. Now, would that happen immediately in America?
Of course
not. But I've said before, this is a work in progress and we're not doing anything to start the progress.
Here's the thing.
You know
another,
what I mean?
Probably the argument that, honestly, the argument that goes the furthest and the argument that's hardest to move around the argument that is hardest to respond to is what I call the argument from tradition. Second Amendment. They say, oh, we here's the argument. Here, I'm laid out to you as simple as I can. We should have access to weapons because we've always had access to weapons.
Yeah.
That is not an argument. Traditions change all the time when situations push them to change. I don't think our founding fathers, in their context, were thinking about semi-automatic weapons. No. Can you have an assault? Can you have a rocket launcher? Can you have a nuke? Can you have a tank? No, you can't arm yourself to the teeth.
It's not fair, bro, because no, it's not the 1770s.
It's not. It's
and
tradition.
There's an ad that was created for an anti-gun ad. I didn't send this to you, but it's really eye-opening. But there was an anti-gun ad where a mass shooter comes into a school
with a musket.
Did you see it?
Yeah, with a musket.
Yeah, he comes into the school with a musket. And he's like, when the Second Amendment was written, this is what a mass shooting would look like. He comes in, he fires off one shot, and he misses. Yeah. And then it takes him like 2 or 3 minutes to reload it. Everybody leaves.
That's slightly comical. The idea is, first of all, no one's completely free. One of my favorite freedoms is the freedom of speech. But I can't verbally accost you in public. I can't verbally accost a cop. I don't have pure freedom of speech in this community. And the right to bear arms, yes, I don't think it's the time to take away all guns from all people. I don't think that's the solution. But these weapons that are military grade and designed for mass killing,
dude, you can
this epidemic, the easiest thing to do is say, okay, like let's say you work in a machine shop and one machine keeps malfunctioning and people keep getting hurt on it. Yes, there's user error. Yes, there's a lot of things you can look at. But the first thing you do is look at the machine,
dude.
Look at the mechanism. What's happening?
You can walk into Walmart
and buy
an AR-15. I mean, I don't know what else I can say to illustrate the problem.
The question is, why shouldn't we take these away from civilians? And what are they doing to contribute to our society? Let's just say the common denominator was cars. Like the guy said, you could drive a car into a school. Let's just say all these mass killings happened and the common denominator was cars. We'd have to ask, should we take cars away? Well, cars are kind of ingrained in our society. Yeah. We use them for travel. But that's not the situation. The situation is every situation or every mass shooting involves the same type of weapon.
Yeah.
What are those weapons doing to contribute to our society?
Did you see the...
Why shouldn't we take them away? Just because there's a community that wants to have them? I'm sorry, your desire to shoot a gun is not more important than my daughter's survival.
Exactly.
Not.
Anyway, I said on the last show when we talked about Vegas, guns are not more important than lives.
No, they're not more important. I know guns are fun, but you don't need an AR-15. You don't need that.
Have you seen the one less gun movement?
Love it.
Gun owners.
Gun enthusiasts.
Let me tell everyone what's happening.
Gun enthusiasts.
Gun owners and enthusiasts are destroying or voluntarily giving up their AR-15 and other guns. And they're using hashtag one less gun.
Less guns
exactly.
means less killings with guns.
Exactly.
Obviously.
And that's kind of what I said is this isn't the 1770s. You know, laws need to adapt to the environment.
What I like about the one less gun movement is individuals taking it upon themselves to say, you know what? Like I said before, something has to change. I guarantee you, on this day that we're having this podcast, this will happen again unless something changes.
Oh, no, it definitely will.
It will.
What I want
to
tell you
is, how can I contribute? Well, one less gun. That's the only thing I can do to change. We have to change something.
What I want
to
tell you in terms of a silver lining, I mean, it's hard to find that in some of these stories.
I think it's important to look for
one. You saw all the kids that were involved in Florida and then kids at other high schools. My daughter mentioned something to me this past weekend. There's already talk at her high school near Charlotte.
Yeah.
But there's going to be walkouts where students are going to walk out.
They've had enough.
We've all
had enough.
A bunch of them went to Washington and did a lie-in there. We talked about the rallies that Gonzalez spoke in.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and fingers crossed, that these kids are our future, right? I mean, they are, period.
They are literally our future. And I'm not using literally, metaphorically. They are literally our future.
I think they're going to make a change, brother.
Of course.
And I think they are
because they're sick of it. What's happened? What happened after Sandy Hook?
Letting their voice be heard.
What happened after Vegas? What's happening? What are they doing?
Right.
And this whole thing, like, it's not the right time. No. After a shooting is the best time to talk about gun control and about the other issues. It is a mental health thing. It is a societal problem. But those issues, those are much harder to diagnose and those will take time. Yes, we need to study these issues. We need to have professionals looking into mental health, looking into emotional health, looking into societal factors. I mean, examine things like, why are we so attracted to violence? Why are violent video games so popular? Look into those things. But the easiest thing to do is to take the mechanism away.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop shootings altogether.
Or how about this? Yeah. Or how about this? At a bare minimum.
Yeah.
At a bare minimum, make it harder to get.
I know.
I mean, this kid.
The 17-year-old doing with a semi-automatic weapon.
You know, and the guy in Vegas had 30-something semi-automatic rifles with him, bump stocks and everything else. I mean, why are we making all that shit so accessible? Yes. I got a guy that works for me that I love. I'm not going to mention him by name. But he was talking to me the other day, and this is before the shooting, but I don't know if he would have said it because it would have been in bad taste. But the other day, he was mentioning to me how excited he is to get an AR-15. And he just wants one. He just wants to have it.
I accept it. Guns are fun.
You know, and he'll be able to have it. But now, if that guy snaps... You know, I mean, he has that available to him.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And if you want to say mental health is part of it, that's fine. Yeah. But somebody that's mentally unstable is somebody different that's mentally unstable with a gun.
It is.
Those are two different people.
And also, mental health, I mean, you can talk about laws, mental health laws, making it harder for mentally unstable people. But do you think that gentleman in Vegas would have been denied a gun? He obviously hid his pathologies very well. Like, mental health is a very difficult thing to diagnose.
Right.
Yes, like I said, that's part of it. We need to move closer to that. But, I mean, the biggest question is, why make these weapons available to the public? Why? What are they doing to contribute to our society? And that thing you think they're doing to contribute, is that more important than these lives?
And the Second Amendment, people, I mean, I get it. I don't get it. But I understand that that's important to you.
It's a tradition.
It's tradition and everything
else. We've always had guns. You can't take our guns away. It's part of who we are. It's our identity. You know what? Identity changes.
Right.
Identity change. Now, guess what? I want to tell you something else about our identity as a country. Part of our identity now is we are a country with mass shootings. That's part of our identity now. You live in a country, gun owner, where people use these guns to mow down children. That's part of our identity.
Right,
you need to accept that first.
So we have to wrap up, but what I wanted to point out and the growing frustration around this issue is not just our government, but it's our society. So when this happened, I was doing a lot of research and I was watching the news and so on and so forth. And when I would click on articles on Facebook and things like that, I would unfortunately see comments where it was like, they don't even realize people died, you know, or if it had been their kid, would they be saying this, you know, that kind of thing. And there's countless ones, brother. But I screenshotted one of them. I'm obviously not going to mention the guy. I don't know him anyway. But here's a comment. And this kind of encapsulates, if you want to call them pro-Second Amendment people or whatever, they just are kind of blind to anything that's going on that would affect the Second Amendment. But this is a USA Today article, okay, about the shooting and about the ongoing gun control debate.
Okay.
He says, quit blaming everyone except the person responsible. The individual who decided to act. People are responsible for their own acts. Do we blame cars or alcohol for drunk drivers? Do we blame makers of utensils and flatware if they're morbidly obese? Of course not. The instrument of the attack is not the problem. The problem are the people who choose to use them. And he goes on, and then at the end he says, this is a society problem, not a gun problem. Now, I read that out because that's one comment in a sea of a million that are echoing, and that's our country, brother. And I would say probably half the country would agree with this guy, if I had to guess. They don't see it as a gun problem. They don't even think, holy shit, we have enough guns for every person in America to have two guns. Every single person that lives in this country could own two guns, and we wouldn't run out.
And I understand. I understand there's a fear. There's a fear of losing that part of yourself. There's a fear of losing your, you know, part of being an American is having access to these weapons. And yes, an individual like this individual chose, made the decision based on all these things involved that we need to look into to take a gun into a school. Yes, he's the one who made the decision.
Of course, but they were too accessible to him.
He has
it was too easy
access
for him to do that.
And we're not, and see, the thing is, and what goes against this argument is we're not talking about one guy.
Right.
We're talking about a situation that happens over and over and over and over.
And to your point,
again,
there's a common denominator, and it's AR-15 or
that's
semi-automatic.
That's the common
weapon.
Denominator.
All right, we got to wrap up. Do you want to say anything final on the Parkland shooting before we move on to our final bookend and wrap up for this week, Andy? You're going to give your final thought, I know, but I didn't want to cut you short if you
really
had anything
quick on this
kind of floating
issue
out there.
It is complicated.
Yep.
And there are so many factors involved. And there's so many things we need to examine about ourselves and our society and how we work and our own attraction to violence and weapons and, you know, why we're so attracted to these things. But we have to do something.
Yep.
Something has to change.
And
the simplest action to take right now is to take the mechanism away. This guy said, well, we don't blame alcohol for drunk driving, but we do make alcohol less accessible to people who are driving, don't we?
Right.
Then why can't I drive? down the road with a can of beer. It's not the beer's fault.
Right.
But you don't let me have a can of beer.
To that point, LeBron James made a very simplistic argument at the All-Star weekend. He's like, why are we letting kids buy guns? They can't even buy beer.
Exactly.
Now, that's a simple statement, but it's harder to get a beer, which is legal, than a gun.
We don't blame cars, but if one type of car showed up in every car-related homicide, you would be forced to ask yourself, what's going on with this car?
Right.
You'd be forced to ask that.
Okay.
It's not, I'm not blaming guns. I'm not blaming the car. You'd be forced to isolate that as a common factor.
Okay, we got to wrap up and move on to wrap up the show this week, Andy. But as sad as I am to say this, I'm sure this will come up again on the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to
Unless something changes, this will keep happening.
I'm not trying to be pessimist, but I feel like we will be talking about this again at some point because it is an ongoing debate in this country that's a work in progress that's going to take decades to change the culture, in my opinion. And that's even if they pass legislation.
And like the gun people, change starts with you. Change starts with you.
Yep. And you know, the midterms are this year. We always talk about that. We have a lot of Republicans right now. To quote Gonzalez again, she says, quote, to every politician who is taking donations from the NRA, shame on you. Unquote. Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's run our last promo of the day, Andy. Then we'll come back and wrap up with a few pop culture topics that are much more uplifting.
Okay. Let's take a step up.
Hang tight, buddy. We'll be right back.
I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
You're quite a girl, Pussy.
Hey, Shakeners. It's Ian Huge Footlong Johnson here with Tom Com.
Howdy.
And Alex Duty Dudorino.
Ahoy.
From Shake It Not Nerd. We're a podcast martini mixed with a dash of movies, a drop of comics, a shot of games, and 80% alcohol. So join us as we discuss topics such as the history of Nintendo, what Batman could learn from James Bond, Shark Week, and mucho grande more. So you can find us on all the good podcasting platforms, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So come shake things up with us at Shake It Not Nerd.
Shocking. Positively shocking.
Welcome back in, guys. We're going to wrap up episode 62 of Two Piece. Andy, you doing okay over there?
I'm doing pretty good.
A little emotional there, buddy. It's tough. I hate when this comes up, and it comes up too often. But
I just want to say, Gerald, every week, thank you for allowing me to rant for a few minutes. Especially this week, of course. It's hard. It's hard to listen to me for a 5-minute rant. It's difficult. So thank you, everyone out there, for listening to me. I appreciate it.
Well, you took
Let
on.
Let me get that off my chest. That was.
Of course, yeah. And you took on the role that I took on when the Vegas one happened. Yeah. I just couldn't shut up because I was just like, this is fucking ridiculous.
You know, and it helps me to get this out. So thank you.
And I don't want to seem complicit, but it's like I said, I feel like we're going to talk about this again.
Yep.
I mean, it could be next week for all we know. Yeah. Okay. Let's pick it up.
Okay.
So let's talk about how fat I am. That'll help everyone. That'll help cheer everyone
up. Our country's going in the crapper, but hey, Gerald's fat and ugly. Let's talk about that.
Cheer everyone up here.
Okay. You're like the Homer Simpson of podcasts.
We only got a few minutes to fly through these, but do you ever do peeps? At the hollow,
dude,
the
I love
Easter,
peeps.
Easter time.
Sugar covered marshmallows. Yeah. Yes, please.
How can you go wrong?
I don't know. It's my
son
pleasure.
Asked me about.
I know some people hate peeps. I love peeps.
My son, love I love peeps. Them too. My son love asked peeps. Me about it last year. He had them for the first time, like last spring, and he asked me about it. He goes, "What is this?" I go, "Dude, it's a marshmallow covered in sugar. Eat it. You'll fucking love it." And he's like, "Wow, I
You're
love marshmallows.
Father.
I love candy."
Did you think he took the peep, took one look at you, wow. Took one look at you and said, "Nah, I'm not gonna do that."
He's like, "Wow, never mind."
That's why I probably know what my dad looks like.
The reason I bring it up, they have new flavors coming out for the spring release of their peeps lines. Peeps. They have sour cherry.
Okay.
I won't be trying this.
No, I don't.
Say they have pancakes and syrup. Maybe.
Yeah. Also a song by from the show Yo Gabba Gabba, Pancakes and Syrup by
okay, thanks
Pancakes
for telling us
that. And Syrup.
Okay, fair.
By what's his name?
I don't know.
Bismarcky.
I don't think that's why I came out.
Search it, YouTube it. Pancakes and Syrup Bismarcky.
And then they're also gonna have three mystery flavors of peeps, which you won't know until you bite into them.
Dude,
they're
how do you feel about that?
They're just white like a marshmallow, and then you bite them and you get
the flavor. I think marshmallows and sugar, that's enough. You don't need to complicate.
You know what,
I'd
probably
that.
Do it. Maybe the Easter bunny will bring me some.
Yeah.
All right, dude. We talk about robots killing us all the time. Get ready. Did you see Boston Dynamics in Boston?
Oh, is that what? Boston Dynamics out of Philadelphia.
Have created robot dogs.
I did see this.
Which might not sound that weird. However, they can communicate with each other to form complicated solve problems, basically.
Did you watch the video of them opening the door?
That's what I was going to say. And they work. Two of them work together to open a door.
Tell me this. Was it was it kind of creepy?
It was, because I watched Black Mirror, and this is an episode of Black Mirror, brother. There's an episode called Metalhead.
I watched these dogs open the door, it was like scary for me.
No, it's fucking...
I don't know why.
Well, it's scary robots, because they figured it out themselves.
Yeah.
Like, they talk to each other, and they fucking... Did you see it? And the guy's like, well, this is how you do it.
So if, let's just say the two dogs are there and one guy says, okay, I'm going to turn this dog off and fix this leg. And the other dog's like, dude, he's going to turn you off and fix your leg. Don't let him do that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. They communicate with each other. Sorry, where does it end, brother? Where does it end, brother?
I can't open the pod door.
Yikes.
The bay door, what was it called? 2001.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, Dave.
I haven't seen that since 2001, so I'm not sure. let's see. What am I going to... I feel like I'm going to just... skip a couple here, but I will we'll wrap up with this one and, okay. then I'll throw you for a loop because we're out of time.
Okay.
So Toy Story Land is opening in Disney World.
How excited are you?
I'm very excited actually. It's opening in this summer in Orlando's Disney World.
Nice.
Did you see the footage of that I sent you?
No, I didn't.
So it's let's see, it's one of the most highly anticipated attractions coming to Disney World this year.
Mm-hmm.
And they announced it on Good Morning America this past week. It's gonna open on June 30th. And they had Woody, Buzz, Jesse, everybody on the show there.
I wonder if everything will be like in Toy Story Land. You'll be like the size of a toy.
Well, here,
so that everything will be big, like big beds and big. I wonder if that's how, because that's awesome.
Actually, you will. It says it's inspired by the Toy Story films. The latest addition to Hollywood Studios, which is where it's going to be,
okay.
is going to have a Slinky Dog roller coaster.
A Slinky Dog coaster!
A twirly alien swirling saucer ride, which is based on the Claw, which is Sid's favorite, getting the alien there.
Sid loves the Claw.
And then there'll be a new 3D version of Toy Story Mania, which is the ride through 3D. Shooting game.
Oh, yeah, I like that game.
And it's going to have 11 acres filled with giant crayons, green army men, Rubik's Cubes, Tinker Toys, and other attractions that celebrate Toy Story. There you go. I love it. You put Toy Story up there, right? That's one of the most best animated films.
And one
of all
the
time.
Great things is Toy Story 1 was the beginning of Pixar.
Right.
Was the beginning of taking
kind of like
that
digital
kind
animation.
Of, not only that kind of animation, but also that level of storytelling. I mean, because the Pixar movies have a different kind of storytelling, I think. I can't isolate what it is. But for me, the Toy Story franchise 1, 2, and 3, I love them all. Yeah. I think they get better each time.
And Pixar Pixar just kills it every
Those
time.
Are great. I mean,
I just saw Coco a couple months ago. Great.
Yes.
Great film.
Yeah, so I mean, Toy Story, because it's as far as Pixar films, is probably the most iconic.
Yeah.
It was the beginning.
Absolutely. I would
put Buzz and Woody, Tim Allen.
I would put it up there,
bro.
All right, listen, man, here's your loop.
Tom Hanks.
Here's your loop.
Oh,
what land or park
do
you wish existed so you could take your family and kids there?
Okay.
What theme?
The first thing I want to say is Star Wars, but Star Wars already exists. So
Star Tours, but I mean, is there a land?
Star Tours. So the first thing I think of is Star Wars land.
Yeah, that's good.
But I want something jungle-esque. I want something Amazon-esque. I want to be, here's the thing, I want a jungle without the dirt. I want a man-made jungle where I can go into and see like animals and like big trees and go up in tree houses
and eat in
rainforest cafes.
So not like a zoo, but more like...
Yes. Well, the zoo can be involved and incorporated, but I just want to go into a deep, dark Amazonian jungle without the dirt.
Well, as usual,
clean air conditioning.
As usual, I went with the fucking 7-year-old answer here, but I got...
Cookies.
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh!
Have like a Super Mario World. You go in and you can go in.
An actual Super Mario World.
You can go in like green pipes and like get on the elevator, but it's a pipe, you know?
And make the noise.
And you come out and you can collect coins and do all kinds of shit.
Dude.
So if that exists, forgive me, but I've never heard of it.
Super Mario.
And then I also.
Who owns Super Mario? Nintendo.
Nintendo, yeah. I also put 1980s Fun Park. They have a park that's all 1980s themed. I love the 80s. All right, man.
Honestly, I have to say Star Wars is probably the obvious answer for me because going into Mos Eisley.
I mean, Star Wars is a good one.
Walking through the Millennium Falcon.
Star Wars is a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, because that didn't really, a Star Wars land doesn't really exist yet. So that's a good one. All right, man, give us your final thought for episode 62, Andy. It was a deep one, brother.
Yes.
What do you got for us?
Einstein has a quote, and I'm not going to be able to remember it perfectly, but Einstein said, "It is insanity to do the same action over and over again and expect different results. If something's going on in your life or in this country and you want things to go differently, if you want to change, you have to change something. Change something in your intention. Change something in your action. If there's something in your life you want to change, you need to change something. If you want this country to change, you need to change something. Be the change you want to see in the world." That's my man Gandhi.
Thanks, Andy. As always, brother, I appreciate it. I know it was a tough one this week. Hopefully it will be a long time before we have to discuss anything like that, but who knows? Get out there in the midterms and, like you said, make a change.
Yeah.
That's a very good final thought to leave us on for episode 62. You guys can find all of our information in the show notes. We get together every week and talk about all kinds of stuff. So we will be back next week for episode 63. Andy, until then, stay sexy, which I know won't be a problem.
It's hard not to, brother.
It's natural,
brother. It's hard not to. And you stay you.
You can't come up with anything, can you?
You stay alive?
I don't know what to say.
That's good. Survive.
I will survive. I will survive, Gloria Gaynor. I will survive.
As long as you know how to love.
All right, brother. All right. I'll see you next week.
I'll be here.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.